always locked on Heat. Biscayne, South Beach, Goldberg and Ramil. Talking Heat, why they chill? Got the stats in the news, got the facts and the views. Never know what they gon' say. Mailbag on a Monday. Pat Riles got the pack ride. Coach Spo got the know-how. Three bands in the raps now. Heat Nation, that's a packed house. Heat talk at the game time. Heat talk every day. I'm always locked on Heat. Got it locked on Heat. Always locked on Heat. Keep it locked on Heat. Seat geek for the cheap. What's the day got the heat? Heat.
And now, your Locked On Heat hopes. Wes Goldberg and David Ramil.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is David Ramil, and my co-host Wes Goldberg isn't available covering a game in Sacramento, so I'm recording a solo edition of tonight's show. Tonight, recapping the first game of the regular season, a Miami Heat loss to the Orlando Magic 116-109. It was an interesting game, some very dramatic lineup changes. All of a sudden, Miami fell into a deficit they could not come out of, and unfortunately, a furious fourth quarter comeback fell short, and again, Miami finishing the game with a 116-109 loss. So let's get into a little bit of a recap there. Miami started off pretty impressively in the first quarter, finished off with 37 points, shooting well over 50%, looking very comfortably. A starting lineup that included Goran Dragic, Dion Waiters, Josh Richardson, Kelly Olynyk, and Hassan Whiteside. So Richardson making the start there for Magruder, who, of course, just had season or likely season-ending surgery. So Richardson started there, looked impressive early on, had some nice moves there. Finished with about 10 points on 4 of 9 shooting, so it wasn't a strong night necessarily, but had some good moments here and there. But Richardson got to start, so of course that opens up questions as to how Justice Winslow was going to get some playing time. We'll get into that a little bit later. So the game started off, like I said, with a good first quarter. Miami seemed to be controlling the pace there. Orlando seemed like they were doing a little bit too much as they're integrating some new pieces themselves. Obviously, this is a big year for them with Frank Vogel returning for his second straight year and adding a little bit of consistency there for a team that's lacked at over the last four or five seasons. This is actually the first season in Aaron Gordon's career where he's had the same coach for the same consecutive season. So obviously, they're looking to maintain some kind of that consistency that they had last year. They finished off the end of the season strong, obviously knocked off Miami in a couple crucial games there as Miami was fighting for a playoff seat. So Orlando, a team that with their current configuration, despite not having made the postseason, has given Miami some problems in the past. Tonight would be another example of that. So once the first quarter ended, all of a sudden Miami seemed to really kind of fall apart. I'm not sure what quite happened. The second quarter started off with Justice Winslow finally coming in, playing what seemed like backup point guard minutes. He came in specifically to alleviate Goran Dragic, took Dragic out of the game. Winslow came in and was responsible for handling the ball, initiating offense, bringing the ball up court, etc. So he was clearly the backup point guard. So we've discussed that potential role for him in the past, our most recent podcast with Wes interviewing Justice one-on-one. Go back and check that out if you have not already. A good example of him discussing that potential point guard role, and it looks like that came to fruition tonight in game one. He looked okay. He did not look bad. Had some really stellar defensive moments, particularly trying to defend Gordon. Looked smooth overall, I'd say. Finished off the night with, let's see here, finished 10 points, 4 of 8 shooting, 1 of 1 from 3-point range, so not bad overall. 4 rebounds, just 2 assists, 1 steal. So a really solid game, I'd say, for Justice coming off the bench in 23 minutes. So he played a substantial amount of times. He played actual more minutes than Olynyk did, who only played 21 minutes. Kind of reprising that same role that Luke Babbitt had last year, interestingly enough. So we'll get into that as well. So then in the second quarter, they kind of just fell apart a little bit. Despite having a 37 to 32 point lead, they had a 5-point lead going into the second quarter. The offense just seemed to bog down completely. They would not score again for another 3.5 minutes into the second. Just things seemed to slow down considerably. That fast pace that they seemed to implement in the first quarter kind of fell apart. And all of a sudden, this Miami offense just bogged down completely. They wouldn't score again until the 8:32 mark of the second quarter, when Justice Winslow made his 23-foot three-pointer. So not a particularly impressive way to start off the second quarter. And from that, things kind of just snowballed. We tried to, or rather Eric Spoelstra tried to incorporate some new lineups in there. Bam Adebayo played a few minutes there, so the rookie got some playing time in game one of the regular season. Not bad. Looked a little uncomfortable. I think the playing speed was a little bit more than he was capable of handling, and he looked a little out of place defensively, didn't really make much of an impact, to my knowledge. No, he did not score any points, played a total of 6 minutes, didn't have a rebound, assist, steal, or anything else. So basically 0 of 1 and 0 points for the night. So not a strong showing, but a little playing time just to get himself a little bit more comfortable. But that second quarter just seemed to get worse and worse. Orlando all of a sudden seemed much more capable as the quarter went on. They eventually tied the game up and then would go on into the half with a 2-point lead, if I'm not mistaken. Nope, 3-point lead, 58-55. So, Miami was already facing a little bit of a deficit, excuse me. And then the third quarter just seemed to get worse from there, to be honest with you. Things got progressively worse. Miami's offense was completely stagnant. A big reason for that, I think, was James Johnson. He was a catalyst early on once he came in and picked up two quick fouls there. Pretty ticky-tack fouls, if I remember correctly. So that kind of just changed everything as far as Spoelstra's approach to management and rotation management in particular. So with Johnson out, things tended to bog down a little bit. He was really, really good at creating offense for everybody else. He had a nice pick-and-roll game going with Hassan Whiteside in particular. That seemed like it was impressive. He finished with 11 points, 5 of 9 shooting in 19 minutes. So again, 19 minutes, just 19 minutes because of the foul call, foul trouble. Finished with 5 personal fouls. So he was treading the line there in the fourth quarter. But Miami just got into an even bigger hole once that offense stagnated. And then they were down, I think, as much as 17 at one point. Then the fourth quarter kind of shifted around there. And all of a sudden, with nothing really left to lose, it seemed like Miami just played with a little bit more intensity. Hassan Whiteside, in particular, seemed to get things going. Actually had a couple quick baskets there at the 750 mark. Let's see. The Heat were down 86-99. And then Hassan Whiteside, 84-99, excuse me. So that's where the 15-point deficit. Hassan made a Whiteside layup, excuse me. Then made another free throw that cut the deficit down to 12. Then Bismack Biyombo finished with another basket. And then Hassan Whiteside made a three-pointer. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. He made a three-pointer. So, Hassan Whiteside, with nothing really left to do but to put the shot up as the shot clock was winding down, just seemed comfortable taking a three-pointer. It was a little flat, but it went in, and that kind of seemed to get him a little bit more inspired, I think. He was a little bit more engaged defensively after that moment, and I think he really started to instigate the beginnings of a comeback there. So Miami actually was able to cut the lead down to 2 off some, again, good baskets from James Johnson in particular. He came back in. Goran Dragic looked comfortable, and they were able to cut the lead down to 105, 103 with just over 2.5 minutes left in the game. But then Orlando just went on an increasing run from there. They finished off with a 7-2 run, and it just seems to put Miami away from there. Unfortunately, not enough to close the gap in the last few seconds. Just shots weren't falling, and unfortunately, Miami's comeback fell short. So they started off the season a little rocky. Let's see, the overall big idea of the game, that's a tough one. For me, I'd have to say it's just that they looked a little uncomfortable, particularly their three-point shooting. That was, I think, the problem overall with this team. They finished 8 of 30 from three-point range, taking a fair amount of three-point shots, indicative of what they were like in the second half of the season. And unfortunately, they just were not particularly strong. Deion Waiters looked a little uncomfortable from three-point range, 1 of 6 overall. Josh Richardson, 2 of 7. Even Goran Dragic, who shot so well last year, just 1 of 4. So I think that was the problem overall. 8 of 30, 26.7% from three-point range. Not enough in today's game to put your head for a victory there. So that looked pretty bad for Miami. Just very uncomfortable overall. They had some good moments, but it was a little too indicative of that kind of 11-30 start. Maybe not as bad. There was certainly much more consistency, much more continuity there, and they didn't look as shaky. It's not like you're trying to get more minutes for a Luke Babbitt or, you know, trying to find Derek Williams' role off the bench or anything like that. Just not a good fluid start for Miami. And, you know, you wanted them to be able to hit a couple of big shots. Deion in particular seemed a little rusty, you know, had some problems, as he is, he's likely to do, finishing at the rim. But at the same time, I think he still had an overall solid game. 7 of 17 field goal attempts, 15 points, finished with 4 assists and 2 steals. Also had 3 turnovers, though. So not a bad game, but not the kind of game that we're hoping from Deion. Hassan Whiteside actually led the team with 26 points. So he is by far our standout player of the game. You could give a nod to James Johnson, who had a solid game coming off the bench. And again, seemed like he was a real factor once he was kind of in foul trouble there. You really saw how much Miami's offense depended on him. But Whiteside in particular just looked really good. Running some nice pick and roll action there. It seemed at first like he was going to get victimized a little bit because Nikola Vucevic, the starting center for Orlando, has some problem. You know, he's got some range there. She took a number of three-pointers, went 0 of 3 from three-point range, and just spaced the floor out considerably. So it seemed like they could take Whiteside out of it by having Vucevic kind of hang back from along the perimeter and then attack whoever was caught up in the pick-and-roll there, either Deion or something like that. Deion in particular got caught early in a couple pick-and-roll situations. But Whiteside overall, still a strong showing. Look, the numbers bear it, 26 points. Finished with 22 rebounds. I didn't even realize that he was picking up those kind of boards, to be honest with you. An impressive night overall. Just 1 block. But that didn't seem quite accurate to me because I remember at least a couple of times where he impacted the flow of a shot there. So I would say that they might not have credited him with a block, but still 1 block, 22 rebounds, 26 points, 11 of 18 shooting, and 1 of 1 three-pointer. So overall, a pretty strong game for him. As far as any kind of second guesses or notes from the game, I'm not sure. I don't know why. I know Adebayo had to play because of James Johnson's foul trouble. Wayne Ellington played 10 minutes, was mostly a non-factor. 1 of 5 from the floor, 0 of 4 from three-point range, finished with just 3 points. Didn't really do much, to be honest with you. Didn't look particularly impressive. Even Olenek, who had such a strong preseason, finished with just 10 points on 3 of 7 shooting. So I don't know that there's anything I'd second guess necessarily other than perhaps, you know, it seemed like they were going to guys an awful lot late in the game there and they just weren't responding. They hadn't had the hot hand. Tyler Johnson, 3 of 9, finished with 7 points, just 7 points in 21 minutes. So you wonder if Spoelstra was trying to be patient with these guys, hoping that maybe once James Johnson clicked in the fourth quarter, as he did, that maybe things would pick up a little bit. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. Even Goran Dragic, who finished with 17 points, just didn't seem altogether there. He was a little disjointed at times. Again, that three-point shooting was a big problem, 1 of 4 for him. So I think that was the overall issue there. It was not the kind of showing that you would have liked. Now, I will say that I think the Orlando Magic played a little bit better than I expected them to. I think, I get to cover the Magic regularly being near Orlando, and I know that they've been preaching a lot of positive things, but again, that's the preseason. What do you expect? But they looked more impressive overall. Defensively, they were pretty active. I think they finished with, 7 or 8 blocks in the game. So that was a pretty impressive showing for them. They were aggressive breaking up passing lanes, seemed to really get their active hands up there. Jonathan Simmons, who just joined the team as a free agent from the San Antonio Spurs, really made a difference, I think, just being active defensively, getting into it, being the kind of bulldogger defender that he was supposed to be. And so I think the Magic look particularly strong. They may wind up competing for a playoff spot. So I wouldn't put it past them. That's something Miami has to be mindful of, especially later on in the season. If Miami suffers any kind of injury issues and might be in a tight race for the 7th or 8th seed, head-to-head battles, as we saw last season, play a significant role. And a loss like this will definitely have an impact there. So something to look out for. Other than that, that's basically it. Up next for Miami, they go into a game with the Indiana Pacers. That one is scheduled for Saturday, if I'm not mistaken, the 21st. So that should be an interesting matchup. Miles Turner is the key player to watch there. Obviously, Indiana went through some turmoil in the offseason, trading away Paul George, getting back Victor Oladipo, DeMontis Sabonis, and chump change, I guess. They didn't really get much else other than that. Looking for somebody to step up in a starring role. Lance Stephenson back with the team, looking to carry that point guard position and be initiator on offense. But Turner is, I think, the player to watch there. Has some nice shooting range, has some good length, and is capable of doing some things on offense. So, just a four-year player, much like Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson, a guy who's still looking to make a name for himself. So curious to see if this is the year where he's able to make a leap. So that's all we have for today. Remember, you can send mailbag questions for next week to LockedOnHeat@gmail.com or tweet them using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Make sure to subscribe to the show to get podcasts automatically every morning. Then go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Theme song for the season by CeeLo Keys and our outro music courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time.